We are in for a treat today, I think. Christian Encounter Ministries are filling up half of a pew up here, and they're going to be coming and sharing with us about their ministry. And as you know, they all do the bike ride here in the valley every year, and we help support them through that. And so it's good to have them. They are one of the ministries that we do support as a church. And if you want to take a look back there in the back, there's a board that I'm not sure who was all involved in making it, but that was the display for the Feather River Baptist Association meeting yesterday. And they had asked each church to put a board together about the missions they support. And so our board is back there. So, Bill, who helped put that all together? Sue and Hannah mostly, huh? Well, thank you to them. Beautiful job. So take a look. One of the things that I think is really neat is we're not just sending a check to some ministry that we don't know who they are. Every single one of the people that we support, and there's a bunch of them, we know them. Just like Christian Encounter, you know, unless your faces change a little bit. Charlie's been here several times, but, you know, we know what they do, and they are willing to come and give us reports. And so it's neat to have a relationship, not just sending it. We need to do a little bit of recognition that we try to do the first. Oh, we got more technology going on here. Birthdays, anniversaries. We try to recognize those on the first Sunday of each month. So if you've got a birthday in the month of October, I'd like you to come on up. So we've got Craig and Annie. Anniversary. I didn't call for anniversaries yet. You know, but that, come on. Oh, Nana's coming. Two very important ones. First of all, we'll start with anniversaries over here. Craig and Annie, you know the date.
Let's see, minus 9 is 2008. 9.
Oh, brownie points, yeah. Well, happy anniversary to you guys. Then we've got Nana. What is there to say about Nana? Been just a huge part of our body forever, almost. She's turning 97. Yes. So, Nana, can we sing happy birthday to you? Is that okay? We can sing happy birthday? Okay. All right. Let's sing happy birthday to Nana. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. So. You know, it used to be that we collected a penny for every year of your age. We're missing out on the budget this time, I tell you. Father, we just thank you this morning for bringing each and everyone here today. Just excited about what you have in store for each and every one of us. Lord, I just pray that your spirit just be speaking to us now. Lord, that we'd be able to give up our worship to you and just really focus upon you, our God, our Savior. Lord, I just ask now also that you just bless these gifts, these tithes, love offerings, whatever it might be. Lord, I just ask that you be blessing the giver, using these monies to just spread the name of Jesus Christ and the love, wherever that may be. So, Lord, we just now give you the rest of this service as we enter in a time now of communion. Lord, be speaking through Bill. Speak to us, Lord. And then as we hear from Christian Encounter Ministries, the wonderful things that they do with their ministry, Lord, maybe open our eyes to how maybe we could do more to be helping them. So, Lord, we just give all this to you, thanking for the privilege of prayer. We just lift all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and everybody said, amen. Bill?
When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some of the bread and gave thanks to, God for it.
Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is a man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? And the disciples begin to ask each other, which one of them would ever do such a thing? Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. The leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as the one who serves. You have stayed with me in my time of trial, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This passage records the saddest days in history. With the help of Judas, the religious leaders were about to complete their plot to kill the most enlightened man in their nation. But these days were the greatest for Jesus. He was about to complete the mission that his Father had sent him to perform. He confirmed to his disciples that they would continue his mission. It's interesting to me that Jesus instituted his new Passover in the midst of human weakness, failure, and pride. Today's no different. We come around this table this morning ready to commune with Jesus. To this table, we bring all our failures and weaknesses. I'm glad that the Lord doesn't require perfection before we can partake of this cup and loaf. If that were the case, we'd have to leave them covered. But because of God's mercy and grace, Jesus still says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. So we come with our pride, our hatred, our lust, our conceit, our slander, our sins, knowing that in repentance we can find forgiveness. That's why communion was instituted, to remind us that Jesus Christ came for us, and he died to cover our sins. We believe here in open communion, you don't have to be a member or a regular attender to partake in communion. We just ask that you be a believer in Jesus Christ and that you've made him your Lord and Savior. Come and partake of this cup and loaf with our perfect Savior. Bring with you your failures, your sins, and commit them to him. Remember Jesus and his sacrifice. Let this be a time of renewal for your soul.
Father, we thank you that we're able to come and partake of your elements today, Lord. And we thank you for your body that was bruised and broken for us. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Just hang on to the bread as it comes around and we'll take it together. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, eat this in remembrance of me. Let's eat it together as we remember him. Dave, would you ask a blessing on the wine?
Father, we thank you for this cup that's being passed around, for what it represents. Your work, your cleansing filled of our sins, your love that was filled for us. Lord, we just ask now a blessing upon this cup. Let it be a renewing of ourselves to you. Amen.
And there he was, with his arms held open wide, his cut and bleeding side, each drop full of love and freedom. Freedom for you and me. I thank God for Calvary. I want to live to see the man who died for me, Jesus. Let's drink this together. As I lift up this prayer, and know, Father, that if there is no God, this prayer is meaningless. It means nothing. But, Father, we know that it's not meaningless. We know you're there, and it's to recognize that and to recognize Christ as your Son is the most important thing there is in the world, in the universe. So, Father, I just pray that your blessing and your spirit would flow down on each one who has now partaken of the bread and the cup. Guide us. Open our hearts and ears for you. Let us do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Christian Encounter Ministry. Well, this is going to sound good, but I didn't write it. Christian Encounter Ministry provides a safe haven for troubled youth where they can begin the process of the restoration of their physical, emotional, academic, and spiritual lives. We are delighted to have you here. Delighted to partner with you in a really awesome ministry. Oh, Charlie, I'm probably going to mispronounce your last name. I don't even know if I'm right. Kaysen? Okay, well, Charlie, Director of Operations for Christian Encounter Ministries. He attended Fullerton College, worked in college ministry, was an intern at Christian Encounter Ranch, went into the banking industry. God didn't want him there. Called him back into the ministry, and he returned, if I recall correctly, as the church relations and donor services coordinator. And as of last April, he's now been serving as the director of operations. Zoya Lee, also on staff, and you might recognize her. She's been here before, and of course, the whole agony ride has brought him here. Kayla and Austin, welcome as well. Charlie? Come and enlighten us a little more.
Well, we're really, really pleased to be here with you guys. It's always such a blessing. Can I just say something really quick before we even get started? I visit a lot of different churches, and I speak about the ranch, and it's a huge blessing for me to be able to do that. You see a lot of different types of churches, and it's funny because my wife and I were just talking. I think it probably was last Sunday. And we were talking about the difference between church and community and how you kind of want those two things together. You want your church to be a community. And I'll be honest, I instantly thought of Loyalton Community Church because that's what you guys have here. So I just wanted to say to you guys, and I think I even said this last time, but you could go outside of Loyalton into Sacramento or Reno or Tahoe or wherever you want and not find something this special. What you guys have here is really special. It's a very tight-knit, wonderful community, and you can tell just the way churches run what type of gift you guys have here. So I just wanted to say that really quick because I think it's important and it's really unique amongst churches. Well, I do work at Christian Encounter. I'm a staff member there, and I've been there for close to 4 years. I've been involved with the ministry since 2001. But just by a show of hands, who is not familiar with Christian Encounter Ministries and doesn't know what we do? Okay, so a few. Good. Well, this is perfect. I think the best way I can describe it is to explain it in kind of a unique way. So why don't I do this? I'm going to ask you guys a series of questions. And if you can say yes to any of these questions, what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and raise your hand for me, okay? How many of you know or have known a young person that's dealt with depression? How many of you have known a young person that's dealt with anger issues? How about a young person that has been addicted to drugs? A young person that maybe has been in trouble with the law? How about a young person that has had trouble with alcoholism? And lastly, how about a young person that has thought of or committed suicide? So if you raised your hand, what I want you to do one more time for me is just raise your hand nice and tall. And I want you to look around at each other. All right, go ahead and put your hands down. Each one of you represents a young person that was dealing with something very serious in their lives, that felt like there was no answer, maybe felt like there were people that didn't understand them, that maybe felt like there was no way out of that situation, that felt like maybe the only way out of that situation was actually to end their life. Christian Encounter Ministries exists because we heard that call. Because we understand that there are many kids out there that are struggling and that need help. And God has purposed that little piece of property that we have in Grass Valley to welcome in those young people so that they can find healing, hope, restoration, and find Jesus. It's a wonderful ministry. And when I came in 2001 to be a part of it as an intern, I knew it would be something that would forever be a part of my life. And fortunately for me, God brought me back there to be on staff. But I don't want to talk too much because I want to save some time here. I brought a student along with me. And I asked her if she would be willing to share a little bit about her life and her testimony. And gratefully, she decided to come along and do it. And so I'm very grateful for her to do that with us today. Come on up, Kayla. And the best way I can explain what Christian Encounter is really to have one of our students talk about their story. So Kayla, how old are you? 18. And how long have you been at the ranch? Okay. So she's going to talk a little bit about her life and how she got to the ranch and maybe some of her future plans.
Well, a little backstory. Before the ranch, I'm a senior in high school now. So in my freshman year, I decided that I wanted to hang out with, you know, all the cool kids. So they were all into drugs and partying. And I kind of moseyed toward that lifestyle. And once I got into it, I was hooked and I ran with it. I started dabbling in drugs. I started ditching school a lot, and I ended up failing out of school my junior year. And at that point, sobriety was my worst enemy. I spent almost all my time doing drugs. I then fell into a pretty serious addiction to prescription pills. And all the while, I struggled with depression pretty bad. I lost connection with my family. I stopped going to church. My whole life revolved around my friends, partying, and drugs. And I started stealing a lot of money because I couldn't afford the amount that I was taking. And I eventually got caught. Everything always catches up to you, and it all caught up to me. And my mom found out what I had been doing, and all that freedom that I had was taken away. And my addiction ran my mind, and so I ended up running away, and I decided that when I was going to run away that everything was too much, the guilt and all, and I was going to take as much as I could of as much things that I could get in my life. And so I ran for 3 days. It was a miracle. I was like an hour away from my house, and my mom found me. And I was at some girl's house that I didn't even know. And my mom found me, and the doctor said I was hours away from death. And God was like, nope, this isn't your time. Like, it's time for you to fix yourself. So from there, I spent about 11 days in a hospital, and I got into a rehab where I spent 70 days there. And my mom's cousin came to the ranch like 20 years ago. And so he introduced my mom to the ranch and said that he thought that it would be really great for me because it turned his life around like insanely. He's really great now. And so my mom looked into the ranch and she told me about it. And at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. But I applied anyways, and I was like, what do I have to lose? I had nothing to lose. And so I applied, and I got in. And my first day, I was like, what did I get myself into? Like, this is weird, all these rules, you know, all this work. Work is, the ranch isn't an easy place to be at. But being there, like, I've experienced things that are just so good. Like, the agony ride, it was really emotional for me. Like, it was stressful and tiring for, you know, everyone involved. But in the end, like, it was beautiful, a beautiful experience. And the wilderness trip, I saw so much growth within me, like, emotionally and spiritually. And it was crazy to see it, like, up front. Like, I could see the change in me. The person I walked in the trip being was not the same person that I walked out being. Like, it's not all good things. There's anger. There's times of, like irritation, and you just want to leave. But the thing about the ranch is all those feelings that I ran from, I am forced to face there. And life isn't something where you can just run from your feelings. And being at the ranch, I've faced those feelings many times. And it's not easy, and I'm still, you know, learning, of course. But it's just, it's really great. And God has walked me through it like never before. And I knew God was by my side the whole time I was out running amok doing drugs. And I knew that he was walking me through it. I just failed to see that. And I failed to accept that, like, what I was doing was wrong. And at the ranch, like, I've opened my eyes to see what God can do in my life. And it's just been a really amazing experience. And I'm on track to graduate again, which is really great. The ranch gave me an opportunity to finish high school, which I wasn't going to be able to do before. I want to go to college in Seattle and major in psychology. And my teachers have been looking into colleges for me, just really walking me through. And this place that I thought was, like, this place where you just go work and everything's rules, rules, it's not. It's, like, it's really, like, a step-by-step guide to fixing my life. And it's centered around God, and that's really great. I've seen God work in my life as well as others in the ranch, like I never expected. It's been really awesome, and I'm really thankful for the ranch and all they've done for me so far, and I look forward to what else can come out of it. Thank you.
So I get to go to work every morning and be surrounded by young people like her. It's beyond amazing. We are very proud of her, very proud of the woman she's becoming. Really neat to sit and watch her talk about her life and how God has been changing it. And to see who she was when she first got to the ranch as opposed to who she is now. It's a pretty incredible thing. So thank you, Kayla, for sharing. Oftentimes I am asked by people, how is it that you can work at the ranch? Isn't it hard because of all the kids there? Aren't they difficult? The answer is yes, it is hard. And oftentimes the students that come are quite difficult because they're dealing with trauma in their life that they've suppressed or that they pushed away for so many years, and now all of that stuff is finally coming up and coming out, and they're faced with it. And when that happens, there's conflict, and it's really hard for those students to deal with that. And it reminded me of the Good Samaritan, and we find that in Luke 10:25-37, and we know that story, but it reminded me of the Good Samaritan because how that person was treated. And when I thought of it, I thought, why was it so strange for the Jew, for the Samaritan to help the Jew? And I was trying to figure out why that was so strange. So I of course, looked into that when I was thinking of this. And I want to kind of go over some of this stuff with you because there was a message that came out to me that I want to share with you guys. Israel, it split into two kingdoms. Okay, there was the northern and the southern kingdom. And eventually in 722 BC, the northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria. And their land was populated with Gentiles, which led to worship of other gods and intermarriages. And in 600 BC, the southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians, and they were in captivity for 70 years. Now, 43,000 of them were permitted to return and rebuild Jerusalem. So the northern kingdom, or Samaritans, opposed this move to reestablish the nation and tried to undermine their attempts. So the full-blooded monotheistic Jews detested the mixed marriages and worship of their northern cousins. So the walls of bitterness were erected on both sides. And you can imagine why there was so much hate and anger between these two. And so when I thought of that, I thought, that's very true of our lives today. And I thought, how am I creating Samaritans in my life? And the reason I thought of this is because of the students that come to the ranch. Oftentimes it's really easy for people to reject those students outside of the ranch. And when they come to the ranch, they come with problems and issues and trauma in their life. But when we're outside of the ranch and we see them on the side of the road or we see them doing other things, it's easy for me to look at them and say, there's a hoodlum, or there's you know, just a rascal or somebody that's creating problems. And it's easy for me to get really angry at them. And especially now with what's going on in our society right now, we look on the news and we see all this stuff going on with all the looting and the protesting, all this stuff that's going on. And it's really easy for me to look at that and get very angry. And I have to be honest, at times I have to pull myself away and not look at it because there's so much frustration that builds up inside because of all of this that's going on. And we see it. We see it between the LGBT community and Christians. We see it between Democrats and Republicans. We see it between Black Lives Matter and police. We see it between the young and the old. We see it even between Christians. There's all this turmoil that's going on, and there's all this conflict. And to be honest, this isn't new in history. This has always been there. It's just a new face of it. So when I see the struggle between the different groups of people, and even in my own heart, I think about the students at CEM, and I think about those people could be at the ranch. And it changes my mind when I look at them. I say, that's no longer just a faceless person that's creating havoc or creating problems, but that's one of God's creations that has trouble and turmoil and problems in their life and fear and anger. And they just need Jesus. They need love. So when people ask me, isn't it hard? Yes, it's hard, but it's also a blessing because God is giving me the opportunity to meet people that I would not normally meet, to encounter people that I typically would turn away from. And he challenges me to say, Charlie, don't turn away from those people. Don't reject those people. Invite them in to your heart and look at them through my eyes because I have a plan for their life. And I want to do something with that person because there are a lot of Kaylas out there that are struggling and that are experiencing trouble and heartache and turmoil in their life. And they just need somebody to come alongside of them and say, hey, we love you. And we want to help you. I want to tell you one more story before we end because there was a story of this young boy. And he grew up in a broken home. And his father was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And his sisters were drug addicts. And there was so much confusion in his house that he didn't really know how to deal with it. And almost every night, he would run to his room when he heard his dad coming home, and he would put the pillow over his head because he knew what was about to happen, because his dad would come home drunk, and then there would be fighting in the house. There would be plates and cups thrown across the room and breaking on the walls. There would be screaming. There would be hitting, scratching. And the only thing he could do to separate himself from this was to grab a pillow and pull it over his head. So he didn't have to hear it. He didn't have to be a part of it. And he grew up so confused about purpose of life. But he knew there had to be something better, something bigger than what he had experienced. And so he looked and looked and looked, and finally he opened his heart up and found Jesus. He wanted so bad to help other young people so they wouldn't have to go through the same issues. They wouldn't have to deal with that kind of trouble in their life. They could find hope. They could find Jesus now. They wouldn't have to wait. So God brought him to Christian Encounter Ministries. And now he's standing before you guys talking to you. See, all I wanted was to help other young people avoid the trouble that comes in life when we reject truth and embrace lies. To help young people that have encountered hate and anger, and to show them that there's something far greater than that. And his name is Jesus. And he has a plan for your life. You see, the world says that you just live a normal life. But God says, no, when I created you, I had something very specific in mind for you. It's extraordinary. And all it requires of you is to release control, open up, and love me. And I will show you the path. So today the challenge is, who are the Samaritans in our life? Who are the people that we look at with anger, frustration, and hate? And how can we love them the way that God wants us? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the community that you've built here. We thank you, Lord, that you have put it on their hearts to love and care for Christian Encounter Ministries, Lord, that they understand your mission there, Lord, that they know it's not just about people, but it's about you and your mission. I thank you that the money that's been given translates into lives changed for you. I thank you for the prayers that have been given that help us daily as we encounter resistance in many different ways. I pray for your blessing over this church, God, financially and spiritually, that you would grow and multiply them, and that they would be able to reach this community for you. We want to tell you that we love you. We love you so much. Help us to be open to reaching those lost people and to love them when other people turn their backs. We pray in your name. Amen.
Charlie, thank you for that reminder. Because I think a lot of times we do. As we see people on the street, we don't see them as God sees them. Probably if I've seen Kayla at her worst moments, I would have thought, what a waste of a nice young woman's life. And yet we see her today up here smiling, dealing with the issues of her life. Kayla, thank you for sharing with us. Recognizing how God sees people is something we all need to work on. How many times do we drive through Reno or wherever and see a homeless person on the street and just look the other way? I know I do. And yet, how does God want us to be looking at them? One of the big things that both Kayla and Charlie talked about was support. That support's got to be there, and that's what a Christian family is about, is supporting one another. So this morning, I want to put out an invitation. If you need some support, whatever that might be, we're here to pray for you. Maybe you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe something that was spoken today, or maybe God just spoke to you and decided, you know what? I thought I knew Christ, but I don't. We'd ask you to maybe come join us this morning. Accept Jesus Christ. Whatever that might be, we invite you to share with us and let us help be that support. Lord, help us to see each person we see every day through your eyes and love them the way that you love them. Lord, I thank you for Christian Encounter Ministry, the ranch, the facility they have there, the staff they have there. And Lord, I even praise you for the students they have there, that you're changing lives. Lord, thank you that we can be a partner with that in helping that. Lord, I ask your blessing upon that place, that you would just really strengthen them and to where they could really, really be helping change lives through you. Father, I just ask now that you go with us as we have a meal together. Lord, that you would bless that food to our bodies. Lord, that you would bless our fellowship together. We just lift all this in Jesus' name. Amen.